Welcome to the Abracadam Podcast, and I'm your host, stand-up comedy magician Danny Whitson. I hope my Abracadamans have had a good week, a good productive week. I know I say that every episode, but I really, truly mean it. I had a good week. I only had one awkward thing happen to me this week. Only one thing. I was at the gas station. I was pumping gas, and a lady looked over me and she said, "I like your tattoos." And I replied and I said, "I like yours." Yeah, she didn't have any tattoos. So we just kind of stood there and looked at each other. And that was that. But other than that, this has been a good week for me. It really has. I'm excited. I got some show dates. Well, this weekend, I'm going to be in Greenville, South Carolina. I'm going to be headlining the Comedy Zone April 16th and 17th. That's Friday and Saturday. I'll be doing a total of three shows. So if you are in the Greenville, South Carolina area, come out and see me. I would love to see you guys. Really looking forward to that. That's going to be a good time. Then the following weekend, April 23rd, I'm going to be in Kingsport, Tennessee at the Gypsy Cider Circus. That's always a good time when I'm in Kingsport. I really love those guys. They're great. So if you're in that area, definitely come out. I'd love to see you. And then the following night, I'm going to be at the Barrel House in Knoxville, Tennessee that Saturday. So, plenty of chances to come out and see a show. I believe it's at 50% capacity, so it's safe. Hey, I'm fully vaccinated. I'm ready to roll and have a good time. Looking forward to it. Okay. You ever get up in the middle of the night and you think you might see like a shadowy figure there in the corner of your bedroom? And then you get to looking a little closer and you're like, does that guy, does he have my underwear? But then you realize it's just that big pile of dirty laundry that's been piling up in your bedroom. That's right, folks. Today's episode is brought to you by Bob's Washboard Wash and Fold Services. Yes. Now, if you're anything like me, I hate doing laundry. And yes, dirty laundry can pile up. So don't hesitate to take your laundry to Bob's Washboard Wash and Fold Services, located at 122 Randolph Road, Oak Ridge, Tennessee. Give Bob a call at 865-951-3237. Bob also offers a delivery service for anyone who's a senior citizen or homebound. Guys, doing your laundry has never been easier. All you have to do is take your big old pile of dirty clothes, drop it off, come back, and your clothes will be clean, dry, and folded and ready to go. Bob's Washboard Wash and Fold Services. Check them out today. This episode is also brought to you by The Grove Barbershop. Now, guys, I've been getting my hair cut at The Grove for a long time. And owner and operator, Jeff Hackler, is an awesome barber. And the best part is, all you have to do is just make an appointment. You go online to thegrovebarbershop.com, select your time, select the day, and then show up. You show up, everything is clean, organized, and it's just you and Jeff. He gets your hair cut, gets you looking nice, and gets you out of there in no time. So be sure to check out The Grove Barbershop located at 98 Randolph Road, Oak Ridge, Tennessee. Give Jeff a call if you want to at 865-482-2210 and make your appointment at thegrovebarbershop.com. All right. I am so excited about today's guest on the podcast. She is, first of all, she's hilarious. She is a very, very funny human being. But also, and I'm not even sure she knows this, but she is the world's funniest magician's assistant. And that's just not my opinion. That's a lot of people's opinions. First time I ever got to see her work was, I think this was back in the 90s on Comedy Central. And she just killed it working with the amazing Jonathan. She is, like I said, super funny. She's very talented. And I really enjoyed this conversation with her. So, Abracadamits, if you would, please sit back, relax, and enjoy my fun conversation with stand-up comedian and actress, Penny Wiggins.
Okay, we've got Penny Wiggins here today. How are you doing, Penny?
I'm very well, thank you.
I tell you what, Penny, thank you so much for coming on the Abracadam podcast. This is awesome. But I tell you what, now, I know magicians know who you are and comedians know who you are, but for some of the other listeners, do you care to go ahead and introduce yourself?
Well, I don't even know who I am, so I'm just kidding. I am a performer, actress. I actually was living in LA for 17 years, and then I met Amazing Jonathan, who's a magician, comedian, and he and his wife were getting divorced. Yay for divorce. And so he put me in his show, and I was his co-star, if you want to call me that. I don't know. Sidekick. I was his sidekick for 13 years, and he's one of my best friends, and we never got intimate, because we probably wouldn't even be friends anymore, because that's how my life rolls. But I've always been a performer, actress, singer, dancer. No, I'm not a dancer at all, but I'll say actress, stand-up comedian, anything in the entertainment field I am in love with. So I was born that way. I was born that way, as Lady Gaga says. And Amazing Jonathan and I moved to Vegas to do a 2-week gig. And that was 21 years ago. And we're still here. Because the gig turned into like 3 years. And then from there, I moved on to other things. And I worked with Chris Angel, who's a magician. And I worked with him for 4 years. And then I'm an independent contractor. So watch out or I'll come after you, kill you, because I'm an independent contractor. I'm just kidding. I'm not. And now I do stand-up comedy now, so I do gigs, freelance, of course, and I also Airbnb my house out. Thank you, Airbnb! So that's how I've managed to survive, and I live next door with my sister. So that's my story, and I'm single, if anyone's single and they want to date me. And you're... Yeah, so there you go. That's my story. No kids that I know of, and
funny about that? Hold on. Of course you've heard a guy say that line, but it's so hilarious here.
It's a joke. And I was actually raised in St. Thomas, Virgin Islands. So that's where I grew up until I was 20. And I don't know if you've ever been there or heard of it, but it's like very much like Jamaica, you know, sunny and Caribbean, the Caribbean island. I could talk like this any day I want to, but I can't. No one can understand me, so then I just don't talk like that. And my mother didn't like it either, so.
Okay, well.
Anyway.
So much cool stuff to talk about here, okay?
All right.
First of all, let's talk about where you grew up. You said the Virgin Islands. That is, so what were your parents? Your parents had moved there, what was the story there? Because that sounds like a cool place to grow up.
Oh, yeah. Well, the story is a cheery one. My parents owned a restaurant in Manhattan in New York. This is where I was born. You know, I don't talk like that, but I can if you want me to. And so I was born in Manhattan. And when I was 5 years, they owned a restaurant. And it was like one of those cool restaurants. My dad played piano and sang. He was super funny. And my mom was a beautiful model. And she would host it and greet everybody. And so they owned this beautiful restaurant in Manhattan downstairs. Like Frank Sinatra would come, Sammy Davis Jr. It was called the Driftwood Inn. Wow. So beautiful. And then my mother forgot something. She'd gone home. She came back. She forgot something. She saw my dad having sex on the floor with the waitress. And she goes, "That's it. We're moving." And she had been to St. Thomas with one of her many husbands and on a honeymoon. And she fell in love with it. And so that was where we moved because she was like, "That's as far away as we're going to get." But then he found another waitress 4 years later, and that was the end of their divorce. I mean, their marriage.
Wow, that's a cool story, uh-huh. I guess. Uh-huh. You know?
Lots of stuff.
So growing up in the Virgin Islands, though, it was, probably awesome weather all the time and very, very cultured, I guess. So
yeah, but, well, it was normal to me. Like I didn't go, I'm on an island. I just go, this is my home. You know, that's how I had an iguana, a pet iguana named Stanley. And yeah, I was very, I ate mangoes and genips and, you know, got Uncle beat up mangoes. For being white.
Mangoes. Okay, so you mentioned your father was a piano player and very funny and entertaining person. So is that kind of like what inspired you to become an entertainer?
Maybe. I mean, he was very funny, had a great sense of humor. So did my mother. And I think Carol Burnett was my inspiration. She was, that was my total inspiration when I was a kid. I would just couldn't wait to watch Get the In Here Right the Now, Mrs. Wiggins. And my name is Mrs. Wiggins. So it's kind of, I don't know. What do you think?
That's coincidence? Awesome. That is
coincidence.
Awesome. Gosh, I love Carol Burnett. You know, growing up as a kid, I remember being at my grandmother's and it would come on and I would sit there and watch it. And heck, you can watch it now at on Pluto, the Pluto station app you can get. And it has all the old school great stuff, you know. So big fan of that. So, okay. So both your parents were talented people, entertainers, and 20 years old. And now how old were you whenever you said you left? You said you were there till you were 20 in the Virgin Islands and then you moved away.
Then I went to New York, back to Manhattan, my roots, homies. And I went to the Academy of Dramatic Arts, which is an acting school. But they, like 10 of us didn't get asked back because we were all into comedy. Like I had a whole group, we were all the like we wanted to do comedy things. Everything was comedy, comedy, comedy. And of course, naturally, the Academy of Dramatic Arts, snotty, didn't ask us back. Screw them, they don't know they're missing. But that hurt me for years that I didn't get asked back. But yeah, anyway, So I lived in Manhattan for 2 years. I worked at Sardi's, this really fancy restaurant. And it was so cold. And I was from St. Thomas. So it was like so cold. I couldn't even, is it cold in Tennessee?
Well, I mean, not too bad. But, you know, we have a little spout where, you know, we have some winter, but the winters aren't bad at all here.
Oh, really? Do you have to wear galoshes? You don't have snow there? Or do you have snow?
It will snow like in the Smokies, get snow, and it does snow, but maybe one or maybe, you know, what, 3 days out of the winter you might get snow. Ah. It's not like a lot of snow either.
Right. Can you ski there in Tennessee?
Oh, and the Smokies you can. You can at the Smokies, they've got like that artificial snow. So
I don't know what Smokies is, but
The Smoky Mountains.
Oh.
You know, like the Blue Ridge Mountains, Smoky Mountains, Appalachian Mountains. Uh-huh. It's the oldest mountains in the United States.
Oh, well, yep. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, so I've never been there. But anyway, yeah, so that's how I ended up on St. Thomas, Virgin Islands, and then I went to New York, and then I was there for 2 years, and then I met some guy, and he was so cute, and he goes, come to California, and I was like, okay, and so I went home back to St. Thomas, saved some money, and then moved there, and I was in L.A. for 17, not with that guy. I mean, he had a mustache when I saw him, and I was pretty shallow when I was 20. I was like, you have a mustache, I'm not attracted, goodbye, and so that was the end of that relationship. I know, so shallow. I was really shallow when I was a kid.
Just over the mustache, you're like, no.
Well, so, no offense. So
You weren't attracted to Tom Selleck or Burt Reynolds? None of those guys?
No. I was attracted to Cary Grant and Richard Gere. That was my guy. Richard Gere.
Richard Gere's a good looking dude. Yes, Cary Grant was too. Yes.
Yep. Those are my homes. Those are my homies. Wait, the sun is kind of strange. Okay, how's that? Okay. Anyway, so that's my story.
Okay, you jumped from New York then to L.A., and now what got you, was it Amazing Jonathan that got you like kind of like in the magic world? Is that how that kind of happened?
Totally. I would have never, ever entered into magic. I was in L.A. doing singing telegrams and stand-up comedy and voiceovers and just being an actress going on auditions. And I was in a sketch comedy show and he met me. I was doing stand-up comedy. He met me backstage and said, "Oh my God, I want you to be the new psychic Tanya in my show." I'm like, "What are you talking? Who are you?" And then he came and saw my sketch comedy show. Said, "You're perfect," and that was how history was made. And then shortly after that, 6 months later, we got on Comedy Central. So that was actually a dream of mine my whole life, is to get on Comedy Central. I just didn't know it was going to be through Amazing Jonathan, you know.
Well, you were perfect in that special. You were so funny. Funny in that special.
Keep going.
and you know, I got to say this, you know, I'm a comedy magician, and, you know, you worked with I would put Amazing Jonathan as like the Richard Pryor for comedy magic.
Yeah, he's very revered by very many, 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 because he was doing something that nobody was doing, like, or very few. Like, it was a really specific niche, whatever you want to call it. If I'm French, I'll say niche. It was a very specific thing that he was doing that no one else, maybe Carrot Top had the props, and I think Carrot Top's one of the funniest comic prop magicians or whatever. I mean, comics I've ever seen in my life.
Absolutely.
But, like, you know, an Amazing John. So, like, there's a few. Fielding West was, he's got that boy. He's great. I love Fielding West. And then, you know, there was maybe a handful of comedy, like Dana. What's his last name? But Dana had the parrot, you know?
Yes, I know. You know what? Dana. Which is crazy. I know who you're talking, I know exactly who you're talking about.
Yeah.
And he's got the parrot, and why is my mind going blank now, too, so.
And Dana Daniels. They're so, and Matt King, you know, he's the ultimate of, mixing comedy, he's the ultimate of mixing comedy with magic. It's such a great combination, you know.
You know, the thing that I noticed, because I started out as a magician, I was a street performer, and I went to the comedy club, and there was a period for a couple of years where when I was in a comedy club, you know, trying to learn stand up, I didn't do any magic at all. And then I had to learn how to combine the two. And that was one of the most difficult things ever I had to do, because, you know, magic, you know, good comedy, I think, is telling the truth, and magic is bullshit. And when you blend, it's hard to make those two work. But once you figure it out,
right,
you've got something special, you know. So,
yeah.
And all those people that you listed right there, you know, have had a tremendous influence on me. You know, Amazing Jonathan, Matt King. I mean, those guys are, you know, and Fielding West, you know, I had Fielding on a couple episodes, and some of his stories, he's got Forrest Gump level of stories. I mean,
yeah, he does.
But, you know, here's something else that's interesting about you though, Penny, is I would say you are the world's most famous magician's assistant now.
And, well, I mean, thank you. I don't know. There's Johnny Thompson and Pam, you know, they were pretty.
Yeah.
But it's funny here. I'll tell you one little quick story if you don't. Oh, wait.
Go ahead.
Now, this is a funny story. I am not a magic. I was not in the magic world. I'm just an actress, comedy actress. That's, you know, that's my background. And so Jonathan swooped me up, and I didn't know any magicians at all, except, you know, maybe David Copperfield. That's about who I knew. So Jonathan really opened a whole new world to me. And we moved here. People kept telling Pam Thompson with Johnny Thompson, you know, "Oh, there's a girl and she stole your act." And I'm like, I didn't even know them. I'd never met them. I didn't know who they were. And she finally came and saw the show. And then she's like, "What are they talking about? She's nothing." We're both blonde sidekicks to our magician fellows. But she was a very, like, strong woman who was hysterical. And I was a dumb sort of, I don't know what I'm doing. Like you said, coming from truth, I really, really, really enveloped that character of whatever happens, happens. Like, Jonathan's like that. And that's what was great about working with Jonathan is, He never said no to anything except, yeah, some of my eyes, he's like, that's not it. But no, he rarely, he never said, he was very like, do what you want. And he never like denied me the freedom of, so that's what made it so great, I think, for us working together, is he wasn't like, you must say this and you would always say this way exactly. He was very like, whatever, say what you want. And then he would just go with it. That was his greatest skill, was, well, one of them was to just be able to like completely flow with whatever happened. And that's what I think made our relationship so great too, was like, you know, even if I never said the line perfectly, he still went with it. And it was, that was the beauty of us working together. And that's the funny part with Pam and I were like, you know, we were both blonde, but that's where the extent was, you know, that's where the comparison stopped. You know,
definitely one of my favorite specials to watch even to this day on Comedy Central. And like I said, you were so funny. You were.
Oh, thanks. It was the highlight of my life. Like one of the highlights of my life.
Well, and you know, and I think that also, you know, like I said, people outside of the magic world and comedy world, they know who you are just, you know, from that special alone.
Right. Know? Right. Yeah. So, a lot of views.
Yeah. So you also mentioned that you had worked with Criss Angel some.
I did. Yes. For 4 years.
Now, what was that like? How was it like working with Criss?
Oh, so Criss is the 100 million trillion percent opposite of Jonathan. As far as you need to say the word, I went to the store. Just like that, because that's how Criss, you know, his magic is so, oh my God, he rehearses. I've never seen anybody ever, aside from David Copperfield. Well, I mean, I don't know. I just as far as I know, work so hard and so like to the point of exhaustion. He's one of the hardest workers. Where Jonathan comes in, he's like, here, I want you to say this line. Okay, you're on. What? You know, you're just like, but there's beauty in both of them. But I had a harder time like getting the line down exactly, because it had to go with what he was doing, you know? And that's how Criss was, very organized, very hard worker. But it was still great. He was still a great person to work with. I had a great time with him. Not with him. You know, I was never with him. No. I'm not his type. I mean, he's my type. Never mind. Keep going. What were you saying?
Well, I mean, that's so cool, man. I mean, that's a super cool, I mean, your resume, just that alone. But now you've done some films and stuff too, correct? You've been into some movies?
Yes, here and there. Just a few things here and there. Nothing, no major things. However, I was in, oh shoot, what's the name of the movie with George Clooney where they're in Vegas?
The Ocean's 11?
Ocean's 11. So I was in one of those Ocean's 13 or 14 or 12. I'm actually in a commercial in the background, and that you can literally see me with the guy with the patch, Neil, whatever his name is. He has a patch on his eye, and I'm in the commercial. And I did that when I first moved out here. So that's when they shot that movie. So I'm literally in Ocean's 11 or 13 in the background.
Super cool. Okay. So let me ask this. Okay, did you know that commercial was going to be in the movie beforehand, or were you
no?
Just, oh my God! So you were watching the movie and then you saw it?
Oh, no, people my called God. Me. People called me and said, hey, is that you in the commercial? I'm like, yeah, what are you talking about? I'm like, where's my money? Money for that. But I didn't get paid anything. But that was amazing that it was running in the background.
That is, you know, so super cool. So, I mean, technically you could say, yeah, you were in that movie.
I know. I could put that on my resume. Just don't ask me about it.
I love that, dude. That is awesome. Now, so are you doing some stand up right now, or before COVID? I mean, were you doing some stand up as well?
I was. I worked at the Laugh Factory, and then I worked in Reno for the Laugh Factory, and now I'm working at a show here in Vegas called the Big Little Variety Show, and I'm the hostess of it, and it's really great. I play Lola, the showgirl that's never had a job in 25 years, but never give up, never give up, never give up. And I say that, and then I get people saying it. And so then they leave the show going, Never give up. Never give up. But it's really fun. So I'm hosting that 3 nights a week. And I just did an audio book. I'm the reader of this book. And I do voices. I talk like this in it. You know, oh, so fun. I love doing voiceovers, too.
Now, how's that book? Is that book out now? Can the audio book?
Not out. We're not done. We're still recording it. And then I have a documentary that I did called The Night the Lights Went Out in Vegas. And I produced it. And I did all the interviews. And we just I'll send you the demo reel if you want to see it.
Awesome.
And then I don't know if that you can see it by yourself, I guess. But anyway, I interviewed over 75 people in Vegas and asked them, how did COVID affect you as an entertainer? Because it's the entertainment capital of the world and there's no entertainment. So I thought that was a great topic, and the interviews are spectacular. It's going to be a great, great, great documentary when we're done.
Now, are things starting to open up any at all out there for you guys?
They sure are. Like, I know 4 people with big shows are going back April 4th. Carrot Top is already back. I don't know about the, I have no idea about the Cirque du Soleil shows, because that's a lot of, you know, it's a lot of money to open that show. It's a lot of money to run the show, and they can only still be at 50% capacity, I think. And I don't think that's enough money for them to, I mean, I don't know. I'm not a business person, as you can tell.
Well, things are starting to open back up here on the East Coast, and the 50% capacity thing. So, but I mean, now granted, you know, I've had my first shot, so I'm waiting to get my second shot here in a few weeks. So maybe that'll get things moving along too a little quicker. Let's hope.
I know, and then I'm waiting for the Johnson & Johnson one, so it's one and done, you know? One and done.
Yeah.
They say it's not as effective. I don't know if that's true. I don't know what these shots things are, but I want to do the Johnson & Johnson one. Just get it, you know, one shot, one.
Well, maybe. You know, it's kind of, it is, you know, I did the Moderna, and it happened for me weird, because I wasn't even planning on, I was scheduled to get my first one in sometime in April, and I had just stopped by the pharmacy, and they had a big COVID clinic thing going. And I was like, what's going on? And like, we're doing shots. Do you want one? I'm like, I don't have an appointment. They're like, who cares? Get in line. I was like, okay.
And you thought you were getting a whiskey shot?
Like, yeah. So it was, but I mean, you know, whatever, shoot me up. If I turn into a zombie, at least I get to get outside and bite people, you know?
Did it hurt when you got it?
No, I mean, it was just sore for like a couple of days, but nothing really bad. Now, they do say that with the COVID, if you're going to get any side effects, it's most likely going to happen with the second shot. Which, you know, luckily I have already spaced everything out to where I don't have any shows, I don't have anything going on. So if I get sick, I'm just going to hang out at home and be whiny for a couple days.
Did your wife get the COVID shot yet?
She did. She got her first one, and she's getting her, now this is the crazy thing, she's getting her second one the same time I am. So if we both get sick, I'm screwed. So
do you have any kids?
Yeah, I've got my daughter who's 12, and then, like I said, I've got a son who's 21 years old who's going to be heading out to Norway.
Right. Your daughter, so she's 12. That's a big difference. Or same mother or different mother?
Same mom. You know, it was weird, Penny. It's one of those things to where we tried, and it just didn't happen. And then when we gave up, and I'll never forget, we were in an argument. Okay, me and my wife's name is Antoinette, and we were in this big argument, and she had stormed off, and then she came back downstairs, and she goes, and by the way, I'm pregnant, and then stormed off again. So, you know, I was just like, holy, what, you know, I can't believe this. But yeah, there's a little age difference there with them, and but they're both fantastic kids, and neither one of them are interested in entertainment, so that's good.
You're a stand-up comic though, right?
Yeah, I'm a stand-up comedy magician.
Oh, and, magician, right.
I always say it that way because I do actually do stand up, and you know, along with magic. So, you know, I always.
Did you write any COVID jokes?
You know, there's some, you know, like, because you know, you've got the topical material, you know, has that expiration date. But yeah, I've had a few COVID. You know, I talk about the triple and five masks. You know, those people. If you're wearing three masks, you must really, really, really want to live. You know what I mean? life. I want your life. You know. So, but yeah, there's a few COVID jokes and stuff that you know I'm going to try to get some life out of for the next couple years.
I love COVID jokes. I wrote one. You want to hear it?
Of course.
Here it is. I just say, COVID's gotten me so paranoid. I'm just like, I always think, oh, I think my throat's hurting. I have COVID, or I fell down. I have COVID. You know, and my one is I say, I went to the bar. I was having a drink with my friends, and I'm like, suddenly I'm like, oh my God, I can't taste my drink or smell it. I can't smell. I can't taste. And they're like, you're drinking water. Water. No. Anyway, it's just a little one. I just think it's so funny. But in truth, in reality, I am so, like, I'm really, like, I always think, do I have a fever? It just turned me into a hypochondriac.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not like that at all, but I just keep going, oh, my throat, I gotta have it. I have it. I know. And then I get a test and I don't, but you know, did you get COVID or anyone you know get COVID?
I didn't. But yeah, there's people I've known. Yeah. I've actually known people who've passed away from COVID.
Oh, so sad, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's extremely sad. So it's, you know, it's definitely real, and it's definitely, it's just crazy how some people it affects, and then other people it affects differently. It's so weird.
I know. So my friend had it for 2 days, literally. She had everything. She lost her smell, blah, blah. She was fever. She was in bed. She couldn't get out. And 2 days later, she was up and walking around, spreading the COVID.
Yeah. I mean, I've known people that's had it, and it's they were only feeling bad for a couple of days, and they're back at it, and then the other ones are in the ICU. I just want to get it behind us, man. You know, and so many people have made it a political thing. I don't give a damn who you vote for or what. Just get it, you know. Let's just get it behind us, you know.
Get her done.
Get her done. Get her. How is my accent, Penny? Do I have like a really shaking? Fielding said I had a shake and bake accent. Do I got a shake and bake accent?
I don't know what you're talking about, son.
Not a clue. Okay.
T-E-N-N-E-S-S-E-E. I have no idea.
Well, let me ask you this here on the Abracadam podcast.
All right.
We always have to ask a hell gig story. All right. So we need to hear one of these hell gig situations that Penny Wiggins has been in. Let's hear it.
How much time do we have?
I don't know.
Well, there is one. The one that comes to mind the most is Russia. That was the hellish hell gig of ever. And Jonathan and I almost broke up as far as working together. He fired me twice. Because it was so awful. So we get to Russia. He hates flying. Hates it. And I'm not much better when it comes to like those 15-hour long flights and packed plane. And it was just a monstrous trip. Like it was just monstrous, you know, and no sleep. I'm tired. I'm cranky. He's cranky. He's tired. We get there. Guess what? They lost our luggage. And guess what's in the luggage? All the props. We have a one night gig for like $30,000. That's Jonathan didn't want to do it. So he goes, I'll do it for $30,000. He doesn't talk like that, but you know, he just threw out a number and he had no intention of doing it because he hates those long travel gigs. So they go, yeah, that would work. We'll do that for $30,000. So that's my Russian accent. But so they said, yes, we get there. It's a one night gig only. So We get there, the luggage is gone. No one can find it. All the props, everything. So Jonathan has to, we go to some weird, like their form of Home Depot is like a trailer park put together with people selling used tools. Like, you're like, what? So finding all the props we needed to have to read, he had to make all of them in his hotel room. I can't help because I don't know what he's doing. I don't know how to do that stuff. And so for 5 hours, Jonathan's in his room, stitching things together, gluing things, hammering, trying to get some of his props, which he's very handy in all that stuff and very creative. But I'm saying what you're, you know, he needs this. They don't have that. They have this instead. So we finally get to the gig. We are in the worst mood. He's so angry at me for me being in a bad mood because he can't take me. And I'm not really in a bad mood ever. But I was just so crabby. And he was crabby. And he fired me. And then I was like, how am I going to do the gig if you fire me? Well, you're going to just do this one. And after that, you're fired. I was sobbing. It was a mess. We weren't talking. Everyone there was talking Russian. So we couldn't understand anything. So we do the gig. The audience is freaking silent. I'm not kidding. Not even Psychic Tanya can warm the women up, because usually Psychic Tanya can warm the women up. He stabs me in the head. Everyone's like this. Nobody can understand. So we have an interpreter. So can you imagine, like, sir, do this. You have something on your nose. And the guy goes, I was like, there's nothing worse than bad timing. It's just all bad timing. Terrible, terrible, terrible. It was so awful. And we couldn't wait to get off. They couldn't wait for us to get off. And finally the singers went on and they were spectacular. And the audience was cheering, probably more so because they were like, finally, people we understand. And so we finally get off and the prince or some guy who hired us is like, you come to my room and you'll do 30 minutes to make up for this terrible show. And Jonathan was like, "Niet, no, forget it. I'm not doing it." And so he was so scared that we were going to be shot or killed because he thought the guy was a mafia. I don't know. He might've been Russian mob. I don't know. Who knows? But Jonathan, we were looking around us like we thought for sure they were going to come and hunt us down because Jonathan absolutely refused. And I'm like, let's just go. He's like, no. And I mean, he hired me back, but we couldn't wait to get out of there. But we did get to go inside the, I don't know if you call it the Kremlin or what. We got to go to a place in Russia that nobody ever gets to go, like a handful of people. So it was all gold. So that was, it was spectacular as far as that goes. So we did get to see that. So, but we were not doing well. We were not doing well emotionally. The show was horrible. And aside from that, that was our biggest hell gig ever for me anyway.
You know, there's, first of all, you know, I've never been to Russia. That would be a super cool trip and experience.
Not but that one.
I have performed for Russian audiences, and they can be a little tough to warm up. You know what I mean?
That's an understatement. That was an understatement for us.
Gosh, how awkward was that with him wanting you guys to come and do? Oh my God.
Come to my room and do 30 minutes. And John's like, fuck, no. Can you swear? I just said the F word. Sorry. Okay. Beep. Beep, no.
That is so, gosh, that's crazy. I couldn't imagine, because, I mean, it's not like you were down the street. You were in a whole new country.
And scared for our lives, really, because we were so, we didn't know for sure if they were, but Jonathan was pretty sure that, you know, maybe the Russian mob, maybe, who knows, but it was like, and he would not, like, he didn't, I don't blame you, you can't give the money back, you know, it's like, you brought us all the way over there. You knew what we were getting into. You should have known that you have a full-out Russian audience. Nobody spoke English. God. Like, and if anybody did and they understood, they're not going to laugh. Are you kidding me? They're going to kill. Don't laugh. Nobody else is, you know. But wow. But it was an interesting trip, that's for sure.
Now, so do you have any crazy stories of your stand-up career? You know, any wild or funny stories, you know, doing any of your stand-up shows?
Well, I will say one of my highlights of doing stand-up was we went on before Joan Rivers.
Oh,
and wow. So I got to meet her backstage, and that was like, oh, Joan, oh, Joan, how are you, honey? Ah, grow up. It was so, I just like, that was like, Joan Rivers. And I will say when I was a very beginning stand-up comic, I got in the Comedy Store after the first 2 months, and my name is on the wall. And also there's a Comedy Store special that Pauly Shore and his brother did. And I'm in that one too. Can you believe it? My picture, when Andrew Dice Clay is talking, he's sitting right in front of my picture on the wall. I'm like, there's me. I made it in.
So you're like the queen of getting these little, getting in there somehow, you know?
Right? You gotta do what you gotta do. You know what I mean? But the highlight there too was like, I was walking down the hallway and then everyone stopped and they were all talking to this guy and he goes, hey Penny, this is Jim. And I was like, hi. And it was Jim Carrey.
Oh, wow.
I wish I had known, you know, he was just a comic, you know, at the Comedy Store. And I was like, hi, nice to meet you. He's cute. And that was it, you know. Oh, that would have been a good one.
That would have been a good one to latch on to. That would have been.
I know, right? Do my Russian for. Hey, Jim. But that, you know, there's a lot of, the bombings were the worst. My very first month, I think, it was my month, you know, and I had no business being booked as a middle. I was booked as a middle, supposed to do 30 minutes. I didn't even have 5. So I don't know, you know, you have to hustle when you start out. When I was in the bathroom, and the girls came in and they were like, oh my God, wasn't that girl terrible? Oh, she was awful. And the second one wasn't much better, who was my best friend. And so I was like, it was like, how long can you stay in a bathroom? So I slowly opened the door. I looked at him and then I didn't even wash my hands. I ran.
Oh gosh, that's horrible that you had to hear. I mean, it's bad enough when you do bombing sucks. And, but God, yeah, if you have to hear people
say, oh, yeah, but I did bomb. I mean, I was terrible. I mean, I wasn't terrible. I was a beginner. I jumped the gun, you know, I jumped the gun and got myself booked in something I shouldn't have booked.
Well, I think comics are the most down to earth and humble human beings on this planet, is because nothing will humble you quicker than bombing. And
yeah,
we've right. all done it. We've all done it, and you know, I say it builds character.
Well, I could live without that character for forever. But bombing's awful. It's just, it's like that. You just can't wait to get off stage. You just can't wait to get off stage.
But you know what? There's nothing better than seeing one of your friends bomb.
Well. Well, yeah, because then you don't feel so bad if you do. But I remember I did another hell gig, and they were like, get off the stage, you know, because I just wasn't doing well. And then I was like, my comeback was, I have the microphone and you don't. I'm going to sit up here as long as I want to. I wasn't even trying to be funny because I was so upset. I was like, I have the microphone.
I was thinking about this, and tell me, what do you think? What's your opinion on this? Because you're familiar with both worlds here. This really popped in my head the other day, and I was like, you know, I always used to think that, you know, bombing and stand-up, because, you know, stand-up comedy, when it's just you up there, you are bearing your soul with you and your thoughts, and that's all there is. But have you ever seen a prop? I mean, if you're a prop comic and you bomb, not only are you bombing with your jokes, but you're bombing with that weird prop that you're holding up there too, or something that you're wearing on your head or something. I just wonder which one's worse.
Who knows? I've never done. I know that bombing with anything is bombing. It's just awful. But like you said, it does build character. But like I said, I could live without that character.
I never forget the first time I bombed. It was at a Bringer show, and it was one of these comedy. It was the night before Thanksgiving. It was the Giggle Before You Gobble show. And I was going up last, and I had this false sense of confidence. I was like, yeah, I'm going to wrap this bad boy up. They're going to love me. And I went up there, man, and I just ate a bag of balls on stage. It was horrible. And it was just awful. And I'll never forget that ride home. Yeah, I was just like, oh, it's so bad.
Oh, speaking of, I just remembered a story. I have a joke in my act. Hopefully this doesn't offend anyone, but I have a joke where I say, okay, so this is based on real stuff. Okay. So I say, I wrote a song about my last relationship and why we broke up. You want to hear it? Okay, here it is. This is why we broke up. Do-do-do-do-do-do. He's a Mormon. Thank you. Thank you. And this is based on a true story. True story, because I was madly, madly in love with this wonderful human being named Todd, and he was a Mormon. And we drove to Santa Barbara from LA, which is like a 2.5 hour ride. And the whole ride up was fabulous. We were laughing. It was so great. We got along amazing. It was the best date of my life. And I was doing stand-up comedy at, you know, some club, but they gave me a hotel room. And so I tried to have sex with him, and that's a no-no with a Mormon. Who knew? But and he that moment he was furious at me for trying to tempt him. And then we went to the club, and right before I went on, he goes, "This isn't working out. I don't. This is not going to work out for me, ladies and gentlemen. Kenny Wiggins." I'm like, what? Then we had to drive back. 2.5 hours, not speaking. I, in fact, said, pull the car over. And I ran, and I just was so dramatic. I was like, sobbing. That didn't do anything for him, though. And the next day, I was supposed to meet his parents and then possibly become a Mormon. So I guess some things are, you know, there's reasons.
you were fully invested. You were ready to convert and everything, huh?
Probably. I don't know. You know, who knows? I loved this guy. Like, he was so funny, and we got along amazing. But I guess it's a good thing.
It's a good thing. And, you know, and I much rather would have seen you on Comedy Central than seeing you in a tie and a dress shirt riding a 10-speed bike, you know?
Hey, there's my seven kids. Come over this way.
Yeah, that's one thing. You know, and I tell people these days, because it's only Mormons that, this is what I say. I say, if you have more than 3 kids in 2021, you don't have a family, you have a cult. I mean, who can afford more than 3 kids anyway? So,
well, that guy, 6 months later, got married and ended up having 5 kids. That would have been my life. No kidding. Wow.
See, you know, 5 kids. That's insane. That's,
my vagina would have been tired. That's all I can say.
Yeah, it would have been, it's like a gym, you know. Crazy.
Come on in, get on out.
Come on in, get out. Well, I think you lucked out, and everything happens for a reason. But that must have been tough going on stage after Todd the Mormon broke up with you.
Oh my. I was just going through the motions. I think I did really well too. And then, I was sobbing. I think I did try. I cried on stage. I was like, so anyway, how's everyone doing? A single people. I am sure that I cried on stage a little, but at least he was sitting there the whole time and watched my act.
That's, there we go. Let's watch the act. That's mm-hmm. That's a wild story. I always hope I don't hear any bad news before I go on stage. I don't text. I don't look at Facebook. I don't do anything.
That's a good policy. My mood. That is a very good policy because I've broken that way too many times and then got in a fight. Fuck you. Screw you. What? Shut up. All right. Hi, everyone. You know, it's like you just have to – it's really a good policy. That's a good policy to just never, like, keep your phone off for 1 hour before you go on stage because it's so – it affects you so badly, doesn't it?
It does. And, you know, even like in real life, you know, social media has got – it's so tough. It is, you know, and being entertainers, it sucks because it's like we have to have social media.
But I know.
There's times I wish I could just shut it off completely and not even have it, you know?
I know. I do love it, though. I love it for so many reasons. I think it's just as long as you use it well, you know, like promote yourself to connect with other people. I love it. I love social media. I do, except there's some mean people, you know, that always have to jump in there who you don't know and go, you're so old. You're a cougar. Shut up. Shut up. You know, you just have to shut it out.
A cougar's a compliment, though. A cougar's a compliment. But you're not, you look amazing, Penny. You are not old. You are not old.
Thank you. Keep going.
Your videos, you're doing the videos like online on social media and stuff too, correct? You're putting some videos out there?
Yeah.
And that's kind of like what you have to do these days as an entertainer. It's just, you can't just be good on stage. You have to put video content out.
Well, it's like I have so many, I have so many creative outlets. So I can't ever imagine not doing anything. So I'm always doing something. Like as a voiceover girl, tomorrow I'm going to be on a VizCap. I'm going to do a little in-house industrial commercial tomorrow. And then the next day I'm reading audiobooks, you know. So there's always something, you know, that I just can't. I'm not very good at doing nothing, you know, even though I like it. But hey, I'm watching a new show called Resident Alien. Have you seen it?
No. What's it on?
On Sci-Fi Channel.
Oh, no. I have to check it out. No, it sounds
good. I highly, highly recommend it. Very funny. Very funny.
Now, okay, well since you brought it up, you're out in that area. Are UFOs real?
Well, I don't know, but I had an experience once where I was in my friend's limo, and they took the top off, and so we were all standing, and I'm not kidding, I mean, I don't know if they're real or not, but we were all standing on the thing and looking on the roof. There were five of us, and all of us saw this at the same time, and I mean, this is the most bizarre thing I've ever seen. We suddenly saw, I'm not kidding, thousands of lights blinking at the same time in the same section, and it kept getting bigger and more lights and more blinking and like blue and red and green and yellow, and it was going crazy and then disappeared.
Wow.
So I don't know, that's my biggest UFO. So I've been probed many times, but I don't think that was a UFO. Good night.
I knew it.
I said many times. I meant to say a few times.
I tell you what, well, let's do this. Let me ask you a thought-provoking question, okay? Something you're gonna have to think about. Maybe, I don't know. But let's ask this. If you could travel 5 years into the future and you could only ask future Penny Wiggins one question, what would that question be?
Can you come back in about 5 hours? I'm just kidding. Let's see if I could ask future Penny. I would say, I would really like to know what was the best time of your life. And I mean, that would be an interesting thing to hear from future Penny for 5 years from now. What was the best time of your life? And yeah, I always think about changing things, but you can't. So I can't ask that, but I would just say, what was the best thing about your whole life? That's what I'd say.
That's awesome. And it sounds like with everything that you have done and that you're currently doing, there's probably plenty to choose from. I tell you what, Penny, this has been so much fun. I've enjoyed talking with you. And before we get out of here, where can the listeners find you, follow you, anything they want to check out?
Well, you can follow me in my car. I live at 31. I'm just kidding. you can go pennywiggins.com. I'm on pennywiggins.com. And then I'm also on comedy, Penny Wiggins Comedy. I can't remember, but I'm on TikTok and Instagram and Facebook. I can never remember any of those things, but Penny Wiggins. But I know pennywiggins.com. That's my website. And yes, so if you want to send nice things only, thank you. I am more than, if you're my age, you're in your 50s-ish, single, no hang-ups, you have a good body, or you're younger and you like older women. I'm just kidding. No, or if you want to support my if you want to see, okay, here's a good one. If you would like to see, oh, here's a really good one. If you want to see my documentary, the 6-minute documentary, just I would love to hear your input. You can go to Penn, P-E-N, Rich Productions. So that's P-E-N, and then Rich, R-I-C-H, Productions.com. That's my documentary that we have a 6-minute little 6-minute clip. It's really wonderful, really well done, really great editing. So take a look at that, because that's my newest project.
Awesome. I will definitely check that out. And once again, Penny Wiggins, thank you so much for coming on the Abracadabra podcast.
Abracadabra. All right. Well, thank you. All right. Bye, everybody. Bye.
All right. I hope you guys enjoyed that episode of the Abracadabra podcast with Penny Wiggins. If you can, be sure to check her out at her website. I believe it was pennywigginscomedy.com. And if you get a chance, check out the documentary that she did about the Vegas entertainers and how COVID has affected them. It's affected all entertainers, but out there especially, being the entertainment capital of the world. And also, if you're ever out in Vegas, be sure to check out Penny's stand-up. I promise you, you will laugh. She is a very, very funny person. Abracadamits, if you haven't done so, be sure to spread the word about the podcast. Tell your friends, tell your mama, tell your sister, tell your cousins. Tell them to give us a follow and subscribe to the podcast on pretty much any platform they use to listen to podcasts. And be sure to give our Facebook page a like, the Abracadam Podcast on Facebook. And like always, Abracadamits, thank you for listening.